Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, it's Thursday, February 27th. That means it's Rated G Radio. And for everybody who has been lamenting all week, there's no Thursday show. Guess what? There's a Thursday show. You know why? Because the Wednesday show got bumped. That never, ever happens. Usually if I say there's no show, there's not going to be a show, and it just doesn't happen. And, you know, I explain why and off we go. But yesterday I had a great show planned for you. And then about 10 o'clock in the morning, former guest, now that I've met him and broken bread with him, I'm going to call him my good friend, but Dominic DiCarlo, who has been on the show before talking about his hypno video presentation that has won acclaim around the world. He says, Garrett, are you coming to one of my shows? I'm finally live in the area down in San Diego. And I said, yeah, let me check the calendar. Let me go back to your email. I'm on your newsletter list and all of this good stuff. And he goes, it'd be really great if I can get you to, you know, come on down. And I said, well, how about this date or that date? And he says, well, what are you doing tonight? Why don't you, grab a bunch of friends and come on down and see the show? And I said, you know what? I think I could make that happen. And I'm going to be honest with you. The reason I thought, I could make that happen is because I was originally not having tonight's show on the calendar because I had been invited to a film festival up at Grumman's Chinese Theater in Los Angeles. And in doing so, very excited about the invitation, very excited about the after party, very excited about all the people that were going to be there, very excited, I can go down to A to Z and all the reasons I was excited about going to the film festival up in Los Angeles tonight, except for the fact that it started at 9:30 at night. At 9:30 at night, most nights, I'm already asleep for a half an hour or 45 minutes or longer. And so the prospect of doing that, knowing my internal time clock and things like that, I said, that's just not a recipe for success. But I'm willing to do it. So I bought my ticket and got everything set, and all of that is good to go. And then, as you may have seen on the news in the last day or three, there have been proclamations of Rainageddon coming to Los Angeles in two phases, phase one starting today and phase two starting tomorrow. And apparently the rain is going to be in such volumes that people in Southern California, who, by the way, lose their shit just seeing a cloud come into the sky, absolutely nuts when the rain actually hits. I'm thinking, oh, that's just not going to be a good thing, and I really don't want to be driving in the rain at night, because people are nuts. I don't mind driving in the rain. I've driven it all my life. But people in Southern California just freak out in the biggest possible ways whenever there's a slight chance of a breeze or a leaf blowing or anything like this. Some of you may have seen the parody video, but the video that Jimmy Kimmel put up on YouTube a while back about the news reporters talking about people in Southern California when weather happens. Now, this is, of course, in a time when people clear across the Northeast, in the Midwest, you're without power, the highs are in the teens, weather is absolutely horrible, and we have newscasters in Los Angeles, legitimately going, well, you can see these leaves down around my feet that are being blown around by the breeze. That could definitely make some tough driving conditions for you in your morning commute today. And, people are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to stop in and get a Starbucks. It's cold. It's at least 55 out today. And, of course, our realm of weather catastrophe compared to everybody else in the free world is much, much different, very, very skewed. And I'm thinking, this is just not the scenario that I think is going to be good for me to drive in. So, given a chance to do two social outings in a week, I think I would really like to go down and see Dominic's show. Because, number one, he's been a guest on the show. He's been very supportive and giving great deals to everybody. Whenever they say, we listen to Rated G Radio, can you help us out with a deal for one of your hypno video specials? And he's always said, absolutely. So I started putting the APB out. And I said, anybody in San Diego that wants to go, and anybody, of course, it's really kind of hard midday, on a weeknight or on a school night to get people to say, okay, I want you to, drop your plans and do everything that you would normally be doing, and come join me for 2 hours of entertainment in Escondido, you know, which is, you know, kind of northeast of San Diego. But I put the feelers out, and I was able to get Cupcake and Christine Cups, you know, frequent listener to the show. I say new. She's been here almost a year, California transplant from New Jersey. So Cups lives down in that area. And then I got my roommate, Marcus. I said, what are you doing? He says, nothing. And I said, well, do you want to go, you know, take a look at this thing? He said, yes. So not knowing what to expect, I RSVP'd to Dominic, and I said, okay, we'll be down there, you know, probably by about 6:30 or so. For those of you not in Southern California, you know, if you say I live 30 miles away, it's always based, transportation is always based on the hours involved in getting to that 30 miles, not just the fact that you're 30 miles, oh, okay, that'll be 30 minutes. So where I currently live, as an example, just to get to a freeway from the house is about a half an hour. And it's not because, you know, traffic is terrible to get to the freeway. It's just that, you know, there's a lot of stoplights. It's in a residential neighborhood. And it's, you know, about 6 miles away, you know, to the freeway, at least to the 405 if you want to take a direct route. So if even if you're 30 miles away, you know, you've got the half an hour to get to the freeway, and then it's like, okay, what's the freeway traffic going to be like? And then you get off the freeway, and what's the residential traffic? You know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, you figure out all of that stuff. And like when I go up to L.A. and it's 30 miles or 40 miles or 50 miles, 50 miles is really kind of like way out there. But that's usually a 2.5 hour one-way drive. So I'm doing the MapQuest last night and figuring out where the, you know, the event's at. And it's going to be at the Welk Theaters, you know, like Lawrence Welk. It's the Welk Resort Theater down in Escondido, and Google it up, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, Dominic said to be there no later than 6:45, and I don't ever want to be there late, especially as, you know, somebody's guest. So I tell Cups, and I tell Marcus, I said, okay, we're going to leave here about 4:30 or so, because, you know, they'll give us 2 hours to get down there. Told, you know, we're going to be down there, and she says, I'll meet you at 6, you know, best laid plans. So I figured we have plenty of time to get down there with, you know, because we're going to run into rush hour traffic going through San Clemente, which tends to get really bottlenecked. In the history of all of Southern California traffic at that time of day, I have never not had traffic. And yesterday, I did not have any traffic. And so Marcus and I, not even in a carpool lane, were driving down there to Escondido. And I don't ever go over 5 miles over the speed limit just because that's just me. So even when I don't have traffic and I could go 100 miles an hour, if the speed limit's 65, I'm going 70. And it's on cruise control, and that's just the way it is. So without breaking any speed laws or doing anything nuts, you know, we leave at 4:30, and we're there about 5:45. So easily 45 minutes ahead of schedule. And I'm going like, holy cow, this is kind of good. I like that, and I'm not complaining one bit. Christine showed up, you know, shortly thereafter, and so we thought, you know, we've got plenty of time. We've got about 45 minutes until the show starts. You know, let's go grab a bite to eat. So there's a restaurant on site at the Lawrence Welk Resorts. Only restaurant at the resort, apparently. There's like a Pizza Hut takeout, you know, like you'd see at a maybe like a college campus or an airport or something like that. And then the equivalent of like a mini mart type of a thing. So we go into the restaurant, and okay, it'll be a table for three. You know, and we want to go see the show, so we got to be out of here by 6:45. The entire restaurant pretty much is empty. Now, the bar is full, but the bar looked like it was full of people waiting to be seated somewhere else. We look inside one section of the restaurant, not a single person is seated. Another section of the restaurant, not a single person is seated. And so the hostess says, Oh yes, you will have a great dinner, and we'll get you in as quickly as we can, but you're going to have about a 15-minute wait before we can seat you. And I'm going like, what the heck is going on here? You got nobody in your dining area. You know, it's 6 o'clock, so it's, and plus it's at like a senior resort, so, you know, the rush hour is probably at 4. Couldn't seat us for 15 minutes. And there's already, you know, a ton of people ahead of us, so we're going, okay, this is going to be a recipe for disaster, so that's not going to work. So she says, well, you can go to, you know, the little place right next to Pizza Hut, and they've got soup and sandwiches you can order and stuff like that. Well, soup and sandwiches, soup was non-existent. Sandwiches weren't there, or if they were, they were kind of like prepackaged, the kind that you'd probably put under a heat lamp, you know, same thing with like hot dogs at a 7-Eleven at the gas station in Wairika that have been sitting there for about 8 months. So it's like, I don't think that's going to happen. So I broke my cardinal rule, and we went next door to the Pizza Hut, and I ordered a personal pan pizza, which I probably haven't had in, you know, 15 years, and ordered pepperoni pizza and a Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi, and had a diet drink, which I don't drink, and I had I had pizza, which I don't ever eat anymore, and I'm going to tell you, it was delicious, but totally not on a diet at all. But that's just, you know, leading up. So anyhow, we get into the theater, go, you know, get our seats and that type of stuff, and the show starts. And, you know, we don't know what to expect. We've never been to this thing before. And then Dominic finally comes out and, you know, starts saying, okay, well, we're going to need some volunteers. And, you know, the next thing you know, Christine and I are up on stage. We're apparently he takes 21, quote-unquote, volunteers from the audience and then brings them up and then, you know, goes through his hypnosis stage show. So I get up there, Christine gets up there, and, you know, we're not allowed to sit together because we know each other. So she's at one end and I'm on the other, and, you know, he goes through everything. And quite frankly, I don't really remember a whole lot other than the fact that, you know, I remember that I was there. But there were a couple of people that were way deep under the hypnosis, and it was hysterical to watch. And you would think that they were, you know, plants in the audience, but they truly are not. And they go through, you know, the different scenarios and scenes and that type of stuff. And the show lasts for about an hour and a half, and at the end, you know, we do a little kumbaya. So the show's over, and, you know, go to thank Dominic for, you know, the chance to go see him, you know, make sure that Marcus and Christine get a chance to, you know, shake his hand, say hi and all that. And he goes, so do you guys want to go hang out or something, you know, or go grab a bite to eat? And I'm thinking, well, I did have Pizza Hut and a Diet Pepsi, which is both are things that I shouldn't be having on my thing. I really should say no. So, of course, what do you know, the polite thing to do is say yes. I'm like, absolutely, that would be great, Dominic. So Dominic carpools with Christine. Marcus and I get in the car, and we head down, and I talk to the folks at OnStar, and they guide us to the closest restaurant nearby, which is apparently 13 miles away. And I'm thinking at 10 o'clock at night, on a Wednesday night in Escondido, California, this is not looking good to find someplace that's going to be open past like 10 or 11. So we ended up going to an IHOP and had a quite lovely meal. I had a chicken Caesar salad and, you know, iced tea at 10 o'clock at night, believe it or not. But I just had a really nice chance to visit with Dominic outside of the show and learn a little bit more about some of the things that he's going through from his you know, performance standpoint, you know, some follow-up stuff that I'm learning about him after his resorts and cruises and things like that where he's doing his stage show. Just really kind of fun to hear and see an entertainer after the show, you know, like, okay, so what do you think of tonight's show? Or, you know, and so you get all of the, okay, here's what I would have done differently, here's what I really liked, here's what didn't go well, here's what did go well, here's what, you know. So it's just really insightful, really totally, totally, totally fun. And he says at the end of the hypnosis, he wakes you up and stuff, says, you know, to feel like you've had the equivalent of 6 to 8 hours of sleep, and you'll feel really refreshed and all that. I will tell you, I did feel like I got, you know, a nice amount of rest. But by the time, you know, I got back home, which was real close to about 1 a.m., I was really, really beat. So hit the bed, don't even need my Benadryl or anything like that to help me sleep last night. Woke up at 6:30, just like I normally do, and was just like, wow. You know, this morning it was like a ton of bricks hit me. It's like, I don't want to get out of bed. I just want to, like, lay here. And it's like, nope, you got to get up, got to get up. But it rained all night. So this rainageddon that I thought was going to actually be starting tonight, you know, when I'm going to be going to Gremlin's Chinese Theater to see the movie premiere tonight at 9:30, actually started last night in the middle of the night. So I missed all of that. And I had two clients moving today, or I have two clients that moved today, both in Beverly Hills, and both – And I love this. The fact is that they were both within a half a mile of each other, which, you know, I can't plan that out ever. You know, it'd be like two clients moving. One's in one corner of the world, one's in the other, and you need to go see them both. You know, so having them within a, you know, half a mile of each other is just a godsend. So I thought, you know what, one of the things I'm going to do today, because I've got a little extra time this morning, I'm going to bake them some chocolate chip cookies. So I've got my magical moving cookie dough out of the freezer, and went and, you know, made, I don't know, about three or four dozen cookies and got it all plated it up and, you know, prettied it up and that type of stuff, and, you know, checked in on the crews, thanked them for, you know, the hard work that they were doing. One of the clients was moving internationally. The other one was a celebrity client moving, we call it on-premise, meaning the same building, just to a different, you know, different unit number in Beverly Hills. And so it was just a nice touch point to be able to just thank them again for their business and, you know, make sure that they know that we were really, you know, grateful to work with them and all of that. But, you know, who else in moving is going to take you homemade, fresh-baked, amazing chocolate chip cookies on your move day? Nobody. But that's what I did. So and then I got a chance to come home, hang out a little bit, answer some emails, and I'm working on a really cool client right now. I've worked with in the past, and they are based really all around the world, but I'm having the opportunity to move some copier equipment from one location to another location internationally, so it's not even here in the United States. And so it's a client that I've worked with many times in the past domestically, but this is the first time working with them on an international shipment. So that was kind of fun to see some of the questions that come up on their end. You know, I'm like, nope, we take care of that. This is all factored in. We can do this. You're to just sit back and relax. You just tell us when you want us to pick it up, and we magically make it happen. So that was, you know, pretty much the last 24 hours, but it all leads up to the fact that I was bailing on the Grauman Chinese Theater thing because I didn't want to drive in the rain tonight. So as I'm looking outside, as I'm getting ready to start the show, at least here in Huntington Beach, the skies are, you know, partly cloudy, but it's not like rain clouds. So I'm not sure when Rainageddon 2, the wrath of the raindrops, is actually going to start hitting. I would like to think that it's going to be pretty soon. Up in Seal Beach is probably about 3 or 4 miles just north of here. And I'm hearing news reports that people are already starting to fill up sandbags and, you know, getting prepared for all of that. And so I guess I'm going to be the animal on the farm that didn't pay attention to Chicken Little when the sky is falling. So when, you know, the sky falls and the house washes away in the next couple of days, you can go back and listen to this on the archive saying, well, Garrett should have listened to the weather reports, and he didn't do it. And look, he's floating out in the Pacific now. But that's kind of you know, where I'm at. So we were supposed to have, you know, about a half an inch to a full inch here in Huntington Beach today, and it was sunshiny. So I guess we'll have to see what kind of 2 to 3 inches of rain we're supposed to get in the next 24 hours here and go from there. But up in Glendora, up in Diamond Bar, all of the residents up there are getting sandbags left and right. They're fortifying their properties where, you know, they have the potential to have mudslides and, you know, property damage come through as they have had in the past. Probably about 4 or 5 years ago down in Laguna Beach, I was still living in, you know, Phoenix at the time, but I remember seeing the newscasts where you would see just rivers of mud and debris and rocks coming down the hills because, you know, they had so much fire damage over the summer. There's no chance for vegetation or trees or anything to, you know, to take root and hold the dirt there. And so, you know, you get a tiny little sprinkle, and the next thing you know, it's just, you know, washing the mountains away. But it's just, you know, flooding downtown, you know, Laguna Beach. PCH was just a mess, you know, it caused extensive damage. And people just weren't prepared because they were thinking, okay, this just can't happen to us. It's Laguna Beach. What's going to happen? And the next thing you know, they're all flooded. So, you know, I suppose, you know, it's better to be prepared than not. But I'm not a Boy Scout, so you're not going to see me getting sandbags ready, and if something happens, you know, think good things. But I'm going to think positively here. So, for the week, a lot has been going on. Just as a reminder, if you want to go back and listen to any of the archived episodes, or I call them on demand, you can go back and listen Monday night to Joe Costello of the Joe Costello Syndicate in Scottsdale, Arizona, drummer, musician, philanthropist, all-around good guy volunteer, and he'll talk about his experiences in the music business, how he treats it as a business, also how he volunteers his time with the Alice Cooper Foundation, teaching drumming to people who want to learn how to drum. And Tuesday we had Dr. Frank Spinelli out of New York City talking about his book, Pea Shy. And if you have not purchased it yet, not had a chance to read it, and you're going like, Pea Shy, oh, geez, that sounds like a terrible name for a book. You have to go read the book. I'm telling you, it's one of these page turners that you can't put down. The minute you open it up and start reading the book, you will not want to stop reading it, and you can't wait to get to the end to see what happens. And it's a compelling story. It's a great read, and I highly encourage you to go do that. It's again last night at Dominic Carlos in tonight's headlines. So how are we going to round out the week for you? Well, I've got a great show planned for you tomorrow. It's an early show, which means that you can listen to it any time you want. And that means 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow, Friday, we're going to have music artist Michael Barry Reck. He has a new album called Continuum. It's now available on iTunes. And how do I classify him? Because I have him up here. He's a lap steel guitarist, if I'm reading that correctly or saying that correctly. And I think that you will really enjoy his music. Things you might want to – I don't like comparing him to anybody else because he just has a unique sound. But if you wanted to say he could be compared to like a Hillary Stogg or maybe an instrumental Enya or something like that, that might be the – you know, at least a flavor. So maybe a little new agey type of a sound to him. So Michael Barry Reck will be on the show tomorrow talking about his album Continuum. So we'll be playing music all 2 hours long, and that starts live tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I can't wait to have you with me for that. It's 7:21, time for a couple of songs. We'll be back with headlines of the day. If you want to give me a call and let me know what's going on in your world this week, the hotline is open, 323-657-1493, 323-657-1493, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. That's going to fade out, and that's Brian Anthony's Electricity. It's a remix version of his song that was out a couple of years ago, so always good to hear him. The one song that I tend to go to on my workouts when I'm doing the cardio for an hour, it's usually like the last 5 minutes, and it's only because I'm scrolling through music. I say it's only, but I kind of purposely scroll through to the W's, and I get to Brian's song called Worked Up, and I've got a great remix that I listen to that gets me through like the last 5 minutes when I'm just like, I'm just going to quit. I don't care. Put that on, and it's like, okay, suck it up. You know, if I see one more post from Brian Anthony saying, I'm in spin class, and boy, and it's like 6 a.m., and it's like, you need to sleep. So it's my motivation to remind me that other people are, moving around and getting stuff done, and it's a great song. So thanks, Brian Anthony, for the music and being a guest on the show recently, for, putting out the music and for keeping me motivated on my exercise. So while the music is playing, I had a chance to visit with Anita in Oregon, asking her about the weather, and she says she's in Redmond, and she says it's miserable, freezing rain, treacherous driving conditions, regular stay-at-home climbs. Willamette Valley, take me back. And I was telling her that, we're supposed to have some rain here over, the next 24 hours or so, and, the communities are getting ready to sandbag places, and I think I'm going to be that I have to see it to believe it, because it just doesn't make sense that we're going to see any type of, crazy torrential rain. But I will tell you that I'm really not making any plans to be driving any place tomorrow, so my My commute will be upstairs and downstairs to the coffee maker and back and beyond. Anita is telling me that a lady in her exercise class has a T-shirt that says Huntington Beach, established 1909, and it probably was. Huntington Beach, at least, you know, oh, probably like 10, 15 years ago, was not the happy little resort beach surfing community that it was now. It was quite an ugly town, as locals will tell you, that it was filled with a bunch of druggies and a lot of crime and murder and all kinds of yucky stuff. And I don't know what ended up happening, but the people that grew up were thrown in jail or just moved away, because the community around here right now is quite charming and lovely. So, you know, you're going to have, I say, the younger people. I have to remember, I would like to probably be in that category. I'm not. But the younger people, you know, they're all just nice. They're just like, you know, surfing, you know, kids, you know, beer drinking, whatever, and every once in a while they get a little crazy, but, you know, who doesn't? But it's just a nice, nice area, at least, you know, downtown in the area where I live, fantastic, and highly recommend it if you can make that happen with your budget. But our old town, Anita, really is, you know, kind of where I live right now, and that's, I'm about three blocks away from what's called Main Street, and if you take a walk down Main, which has really been the crux of a urban revitalization, if you want to call it, but a lot of remodeling, a lot of, you know, tearing down and rebuilding, and it, for the better, of a lot of the, you know, shopping districts and things like that that are here. I say shopping districts, all two blocks of it, one block each, you know, of the two blocks. That, you know, gets, you know, lots of tourists. A lot of people come spend their money here, and that's always great for the local economy. And on the weekends, you know, since it's, you know, we're so close to the beach, parking is at a premium. And, you know, you see people going to all the restaurants and all the bars and all the places along Main and the surrounding neighborhoods, and I think it's great. There's, of course, tons of other places in Huntington Beach, too, but, you know, I don't ever walk more than, you know, three or four blocks, because that's where everything's at here. So that's my expertise with, you know, how the economy in Huntington Beach works. So did you hear that Jay Leno went on to the Arsenio Hall show last night and had some good news for him? Jay Leno was back on late night TV Wednesday. He popped by the Arsenio Hall show to surprise the host and tell him that he's been picked up for a second season. Jay Leno told the crowd, "I'm here for a reason," adding that he and Hall go back 35 years. It's hard to think of it in terms like that. At least, you know, at this stage of the game, you don't think that, you know, you realize they do go back 35 years, but you don't think that you've aged 35 years or they have either, but they have. Leno opened a letter and announced that the show had been picked up for a second season. Leno joked that Hall was, quote-unquote, annoyed that I knew before he did. Hall asked him to come back and one day do some comedy on the show, and Leno joked, "Actually, I'm going to be hosting the second season. Didn't they tell you that?" And then they, you know, hugged and kissed and all that good stuff. In a release about the news, Joe DeSalvo, CBS Television Distribution President of the Sales, says the median age of their Arsenio Hall show is 50.1, which is the youngest among late-night talk shows on broadcast TV season to date. But he added, "Hall is also reaching a new generation." I think it is great that he is back on late night TV. Just, I always liked the old Arsenio Hall show back in the day, but I will also tell you that I don't stay up to see any of the late night shows, so I am completely the wrong demographic for all of that. But I'll tell you that I think it's great that he's back on TV. So, you know, I think he's probably just doing an updated version of what he did in the past. I've seen clips, you know, so it kind of seems like that, and I just think that's good. He needed not to go away, but I understand why he did it at the time, and I'm grateful that he's got the opportunity to come back. So, in Kentucky, did you hear that a Noah's Ark park will be built? It's true. Founders of Northern Kentucky's controversial Creation Museum said Thursday that enough money has been raised to proceed with a biblical theme park built around a 510-foot replica of Noah's Ark. The museum and its founder, President Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis, gained national attention earlier this month after a debate with science guy Bill Nye. "We're going to begin construction, and this is going to be great for the area," Ham said, trying to do that in like a, you know, like a Moses type of voice. Ham said in an online announcement indicating that the 800-acre Ark Encounter Park would open in summer 2016. Let's build the Ark. The organization's website said it had raised $14.4 million in private donations toward the $24.5 million needed to build the ARC alone. Wow. The complete first phase would total more than 70 million, officials have said. They did not say how much money they had raised from a $62 million municipal bond offering. Along the wooden arc, which Ham said would be the largest timber frame structure in the United States, the park eventually would include a pre-flood themed area, live animal shows, and a Tower of Babel featuring a special effects theater and a first century village. Northern Kentucky officials, including Williamstown Mayor Rick Skinner, said the project would bring hundreds of jobs and attract hotels and restaurants to a largely rural community about 50 miles south of Cincinnati. We're happy to be the home of the ARC, Skinner said. But Josh Rosenau, policy director for the California-based National Center for Science Education, said that the ARC park is objectionable because it displays a false account of world history and biology. And it presents it, quote, as if it were fact. Answers in Genesis Creation Museum, about 40 miles from the planned Ark Park, embrace a literal interpretation of the book of Genesis, and I believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old, a view that runs counter to established science. As a result, the organization and its projects have drawn widespread criticism and derision. Quote, God has burdened AIG to rebuild a full-size Noah's Ark, Ham wrote it on his website. But fundraising initially was slow following planned announcements in 2010. Late last year, the city of Williamstown, where the park is to be located, helped by offering $62 million in municipal bonds on behalf of the Christian group. The city isn't responsible for repaying the unsecured bonds, which would come from park revenues, partly because of a lackluster response. The sale was extended in December. How much they needed and how much they raised has not been immediately made clear. The format of the announcement didn't allow reporters to ask questions. In fact, Ham spent much of the announcement railing against reporters and atheist bloggers for, quote, distortions. State development studies have predicted that the ARC encounters would draw hundreds of thousands of visitors and bring a net fiscal impact of $119 million over 10 years, including sales and income taxes. The 2011 Kentucky Tourism Development Finance Authority granted approval for up to $43.1 million in sales tax rebates over 10 years. State tourism laws allows developers to recover up to 25% of a project's cost through a return of the sales tax paid by visitors on admission tickets, foods, souvenirs, and other expenses. Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear has defended his support for the project, saying that if the park were to fail, the state would not be out any money. Answers in Genesis officials said they would continue raising money for various phases of the project, including lifetime, quote, boarding passes costing $3,000 for families and $2,000 for individuals. Ultimately, the project is expected to cost more than $120 million. You know, and really for a theme park, that's probably not that big of a deal. Earlier this year, can you imagine Walt Disney trying to do anything for $120 million? He doesn't even get out of bed. Earlier this year, Bloomberg News reported the ARC project was drawing comparisons to tourist attractions from Alabama to Nebraska that have defaulted on such bonds and noted that it came with the added risk of legal challenges from those who believe the religious themes may violate the Constitution. Groups such as Americans United for Separation of Church and State have argued that the state tourism department is supporting religion, but Rosenau said that despite his opposition, he does not think state sales tax rebates would be a constitutional violation. Theme park officials said they plan to break ground in May. ARC Encounter officials have begun to file permit applications for the park. So that is kind of exciting. I heard about this, I think, probably about a year ago from the Michelangelo Signorelli show on Sirius OutQ 109. He's now on POTUS, I think channel 127, and he's live for 3 hours during the week. Okay, here is another article today out of USA Today about same-sex marriage movement. It says, in Washington, some of the nation's most conservative states are propelling the same-sex marriage juggernaut back towards the Supreme Court. Judges in Texas and Kentucky this week added their endorsements to those voiced in the last 3 months by colleagues in New Mexico, Utah, Oklahoma, Ohio, and Virginia. No state or federal judge has opposed gay marriage since the Supreme Court in June allowed gay men and lesbians to marry in California and struck down the Defense of Marriage Act ban on federal benefits to legally married same-sex couples. In addition, attorneys generals in Pennsylvania, Virginia, Nevada, and Oregon have quit defending their state's bans, a stance that U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder took last year and this week endorsed for his state's colleagues. And the trend shows no signs of abating. State and federal district court cases could be decided soon in Arkansas, Idaho, Michigan, North Carolina, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Appeals are pending in Virginia, Nevada, Ohio, Oklahoma, and Utah. And all nearly 50 cases are pending in 26 states. It changes by the minute, said Gary Busick, legal director at Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders. The bottom line is these are easy cases. When the High Court ruled June 12th, 12 states and the District of Columbia allowed gay marriage by its action, California became the 13th. Since then, Hawaii, Illinois, New Jersey, and New Mexico have been added by state legislatures and courts, bringing the total to 17 states. If recent lower court rulings are upheld, Oklahoma, Texas, Virginia, and Utah could be added to the list. Before that happens, one by one, the Supreme Court almost certainly will have to weigh in again. The court traditionally is loath to set national standard until there is more of a consensus among the states, but the justices may not have that choice. The lower court judges have used decades of Supreme Court opinions to back up their findings that gay and lesbian couples deserve the same marriage rights as heterosexuals. In particular, they have cited the June's 5-4 ruling in the United States versus Edith Windsor striking down the federal ban on gay marriage benefits, just as dissenting Justice Antonin Scalia predicted at the time. Quote, in one sense, the dramatic change that we have seen with respect to civil rights for gay people is extraordinary, says Windsor's lawyer Roberta Kaplan. On the other hand, the perfect string of decisions that we have seen in the wake of Windsor is really not that surprising. End quote. Opponents of same-sex marriage aren't giving up, of course, at every losing turn, and they're losing at every turn. Groups such as the National Organization for Marriage, NOM, and the Family Research Council have condemned judicial rulings and attorney generals about faces. Quote, the lawlessness of this administration has reached epic proportions with seemingly every facet of the federal government attempting to force same-sex marriage on the country, despite federal law and the Supreme Court ruling that marriage is the purview of the states, non-president Brian Brown said. And then he stuck his head back in the sand and became an ostrich. Okay. So with that, folks, we have got some celebrity birthdays for you today. Some people at we'll start with one bright star that is up in the heavens tonight who is no longer with us, but she was born on this day in 1932, Miss Elizabeth Taylor. She died May 23, 2011 at the age of 79. Of course, here's a little bit about Elizabeth Taylor. Better known as Liz Taylor, she was a glamorous movie actress who starred in Cleopatra and Butterfield 8 during Hollywood's Golden Age. She appeared in 11 films with Richard Burton, including Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Before she was famous, I think that was probably when she was in the womb, she made her motion picture debut at the age of 9 in Universal There's One Born Every Minute. She owns some of the biggest and most famous gems in the world, including the 33-carat Krupp diamond. She had 7 husbands throughout her lifetime. She married and divorced and remarried Richard Burton between 1964 and 1976. And she was portrayed in the film Liz, the Elizabeth Taylor story by Sherilyn Fenn. So happy birthday to Elizabeth Taylor today. Also having birthdays, Mr. Josh Groban, 33 years old, singer, pop and classical musician who sang at the Olympics and the Super Bowl. He left Carnegie Mellon after receiving a singing contract. He has performed on the Oprah Winfrey Show more than 5 times. He has a younger brother named Chris Groban, who was born exactly 4 years after him, and he has dated the actress January Jones. Happy 33rd birthday to Mr. Josh Groban. Chelsea Clinton's 34 today, believe it or not, the daughter of former President Bill Clinton and Senator Hillary Clinton. She attended public elementary school and skipped third grade. She's the daughter of the 42nd President of the United States, and she now works as a special correspondent for NBC News. She married Mark Mazvinsky in 2010, and I love how they just keep repeating these same things over and over. Not, you know, and she has her own impressive resume behind her, but they keep saying, you know, they have about before fame, trivia fact, family life, and associated with. So they got these, you know, 5 little categories. She's the daughter of former Democratic President Bill Clinton. So I think she can only say that 3 times in the 5 trivia things. So there you go. Also having birthdays today, Jennifer J-Wow Farley. So J-Wow, you know, from the, you know, New Jersey Shore fame, you know. 28 today, known as J-Wow, she became known for appearing in the MTV hit reality series Jersey Shore and later starred on Snooki and J-Wow. She worked as a nanny, moved to New York City after 4 years in school, and established her own graphic design company called Jenny Farley Designs Incorporated. She has appeared on Disaster Date as well as TNA Impact. I saw that when she was on TNA Impact. She was great. She grew up in She grew up in East Greenbush, New York, and became engaged to Rother Matthews in 2012. I think they now have a kid. She just had a kid. And she starred along with Mike the Situation Sorrentino. He's worth a couple of dollars now as well. Oh, let's see here. I don't like any of the other people they have listed here. Let's see if we have anybody else that might be famous. John Steinbeck, here's a good one. John Steinbeck, born 1902, died in 1968 at the age of 66. This is his birthday today. American Pulitzer and Nobel Prize-winning author whose famed novel The Grapes of Wrath was published in 1939. His other important works include East of Eden and Of Mice and Men. He grew up in Central California and attended Stanford University for several years. He later returned to California following failed attempts at writing jobs in New York, tour guide, and caretaker at a fish hatchery in Tahoe City. I did not know that. He wrote many books about American life, including Of Mice and Men, East of Eden, and Cannery Row. He was born in Monterey County, California, to John Ernst Steinbeck and Olive Hamilton. He married his first wife, Carol Henning, in the midst of the Great Depression. He went on to have two more marriages and remained the husband of third wife, Elaine Scott, until his death. Henry Fonda starred in the movie adaptation of Steinbeck's most famous novel, The Grapes of Wrath, and he was born this day in 1902. Happy birthday, John Steinbeck. Wow. What a fun week. I you know, every time we get ready to do a week's worth of shows, and, you know, this is usually how it works, is that, you know, come Saturday or Sunday, if I don't have anything on the books for the following week of guests, that usually means, you know, we're going to do a week of headlines or a week of, you know, different stories and things like that, which I love to do. And then, you know, I'll be sitting here on the computer after working out, and then, you know, somebody that I see on Facebook, like this past week, you know, we had Joe Costello, I'm like, Joe, what are you doing? And we get to talking, and I said, you know, I saw your picture. You're, you know, helping out at the Alice Cooper Foundation downtown. I would love to have you come out and talk about that. And then, you know, the next thing I know, we've got that, and then Dominic has his show on Wednesday. And the week just kind of writes itself. So I will tell you, for the next few Fridays, I think we've got some great guests lined up musically. And again, tomorrow we're going to have Michael Barry Reck on the show, and he'll be talking about his new project. Super excited to have him on, and just always grateful for the people that are taking time out of their day to come on and spend it with us, and hopefully, you know, you'll enjoy their projects and the things that they're working on as well, and we can, you know, maybe raise awareness for their goal or project, or sell a couple of albums, buy a couple of books, and, you know, off we go. So with that, we're going to round up the rest of the show for you tonight, and we'll be back live Friday tomorrow. Again, special start time, 10 a.m. We will see you live for the Friday Night Dance Party Friday morning.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.